Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Lost at Sea, Poverty and Paradise Collide at the Edge of America is a work of reported nonfiction by journalist Joe Clock about homelessness, wealth, and public policy in Richardson Bay, California, based on years of reporting. The book examines a long-standing community of unhoused people living on abandoned or improvised boats in one of the most affluent parts of the United States. Its subject is not simply maritime poverty, but the collision between a picturesque coastal economy and the people pushed to its margins. Clock approaches the bay as a concentrated example of broader American tensions: expensive housing, environmental regulation, local governance, property values, and the treatment of people who lack stable shelter. The book builds from investigative journalism rather than policy theory alone, using a specific place to show how decisions made in the name of order, safety, profit, or preservation can intensify precarity for people with few alternatives. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Richardson Bay as a concentrated portrait of coastal inequality. The book stands out by focusing on Richardson Bay, a location where extraordinary natural beauty and regional wealth exist beside an informal maritime community of people without conventional housing. This setting gives the subject unusual force because the contrast is visible and immediate. The bay is not treated as an isolated curiosity, but as a revealing edge of the American housing crisis. People living on boats are physically close to some of the most expensive real estate in California, yet socially and politically distant from the institutions that define belonging. That geography matters. It shows that homelessness is not confined to urban sidewalks or shelters. It also appears in improvised forms wherever housing markets make ordinary stability unattainable. By placing poverty within a celebrated coastal landscape, Clock highlights how affluence can coexist with exclusion without necessarily seeing itself as responsible for it. The bay becomes a case study in how communities manage discomfort when visible poverty interrupts the image of paradise. Secondly, Axton, boat dwelling as both refuge and evidence of failed housing systems. A central element of the book is the century-old community of people living on abandoned or marginal boats. This form of shelter complicates conventional ideas about homelessness. A boat can provide privacy, distance from street life, and a degree of autonomy, but it can also be unsafe, unstable, and vulnerable to removal. Clock's subject, therefore, resists simple categorization. The boats are not presented merely as eccentric lifestyle choices, nor only as symbols of desperation. They are practical responses to a region where conventional housing is often inaccessible to people with limited resources. This makes the community important as evidence of adaptation under pressure. When people turn to water because land has become unaffordable or inhospitable, the boundary between housing policy and environmental management becomes blurred. The book invites readers to see informal shelter not as a separate social problem, but as a symptom of systems that fail to provide durable, lawful, and affordable alternatives. Thirdly, profit-driven policy and the hidden mechanics of displacement. The subtitle points toward one of the book's main concerns: policies shaped by economic interests can worsen poverty even when they are framed in neutral or benevolent language. In wealthy coastal communities, decisions about land use, harbor management, public safety, environmental protection, and redevelopment are often justified as practical necessities, yet their effects can fall unevenly on people with the least political power. Clock's reporting appears to examine how such policies can lead to the destruction or removal of an unhoused community without solving the conditions that produced it. This distinction is crucial. Clearing boats, enforcing regulations, or restoring an appealing waterfront may create a sense of order for housed residents and property owners, but it may also displace people into more precarious conditions. The book, therefore, asks readers to look beyond official rationales and consider outcomes. A policy can be administratively coherent and still deepen human instability if it treats visible poverty as a problem to be moved rather than addressed. Fourthly, long-term reporting as a method for humanizing a stigmatized community. Clock reportedly spent 9 years reporting on the Richardson Bay community, and that duration is central to the book's likely strength. Homelessness is often covered through crisis snapshots, encampment sweeps, budget debates, crime concerns, or election year policy disputes. Long-term reporting allows a different kind of understanding. It can show continuity, repetition, broken promises, small adaptations, and the accumulated effects of bureaucratic pressure. It also reduces the risk of treating unhoused people as symbols rather than as individuals living within constraints. The available information does not support reconstructing specific personal stories, but the book's journalistic foundation suggests attention to lived experience as well as policy. This matters because debates about homelessness often become abstract or adversarial. A deeply reported account can reveal how people make decisions when all options are imperfect. It can also show how officials, neighbors, advocates, and property interests interact over time, producing outcomes that no single public statement fully explains. Lastly, environmental order, public space, and the moral limits of paradise. The Richardson Bay setting raises a difficult tension between environmental stewardship, public safety, scenic preservation, and social obligation. Abandoned or deteriorating boats can create real concerns, including hazards, pollution, navigational issues, and conflicts over shared water. The book is most valuable when read not as a denial of those concerns, but as an inquiry into how they are prioritized and enforced. Wealthy communities often possess strong incentives to preserve beauty and order. Yet those same goals can become mechanisms for excluding people who do not fit the desired image of the place. Clock's subject exposes the moral complexity of managing public or semi-public space when poverty becomes visible within it. The question is not whether regulation is ever necessary. The deeper question is what responsibilities accompany enforcement when the regulated population lacks secure alternatives. In this way, the book connects a local maritime dispute to broader debates about who has the right to remain in desirable places. In conclusion, Lost at Sea is best suited for readers interested in homelessness, housing policy, investigative journalism, coastal California, and the social consequences of extreme regional wealth. And it should also interest urban planners, local officials, advocates, and readers who want a concrete case study rather than a broad statistical overview. Its practical benefit lies in showing how policy decisions operate on the ground, especially when enforcement, environmental management, and property interests converge around people who have little leverage. Its intellectual benefit is that it complicates familiar categories. The people at the center are not simply housed or unhoused in the usual sense, and the bay is not simply a scenic refuge or a regulatory problem. Compared with many books on poverty and housing, this one appears distinctive because of its maritime setting and its long reporting horizon. Rather than treating homelessness as an urban abstraction, it examines a specific, unusual community at the edge of a wealthy county and asks what its destruction reveals about American priorities. The result is positioned as a grounded account of inequality, not a generalized manifesto. Its value comes from making a local conflict legible as part of a national pattern when paradise becomes expensive. The poor are often recast as obstacles to be removed. If you would like to support Joe Clock, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.